In the morning when I rise, sings sweet honey in the rye. I'm getting an echo here. Okay. Sweet Honey in the Rock. This is from their 1996 album, I believe. 1993 album. And it's a beauty. It's titled Still on the Journey. If you don't have it, go find it. You'd enjoy it immensely. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday. Lots of things are happening. And we need to talk about them. Because, you know, they just skimmed over. In fact, in some cases, they're not even classified as news. And yet, it's very much news. So we'll pick up from that exercise that we started, and we will pick up and talk about the issues that I have put together here, and I think they're still worth discussing. Lots happening, and lots not happening. And from that perspective, I'd like us to pay closer attention. What is not happening? So much is happening, and yet so much is not happening. So I'd like to go back to question number 2 on my list. As you see it, will things get better or worse? What do you believe will be the key indicators, whether for better or for worse? That's one of the questions that we never did get answered. And how do you rate President Biden's performance so far? That's a question we did not get answered, so we could tackle those two today. Let me repeat them. As you see it, will things get better or worse? What do you believe will be the key indicators? And how do you rate President Joe Biden's performance so far? 888-874-4888. Let's move briskly today and take on these issues. I think we can dispatch them quickly because I believe you have some answers. Just waiting for the asking. 888-874-4888. And we see an interesting development with respect to the Haitians who have been under a bridge waiting for a rescue. And we are hearing some things about that rescue. What have you heard? And what does it mean? That's a very important question. 888-874-4888. Don't be shy. We don't have use for shyness around here. We should be able to jump on an issue and keep moving. Because in the end, it's all about us exchanging information, opinions, and ideas. And that works really well when we're all eager to do it. So are you eager or are you not eager? I don't see anybody on the board. 888-874-4888, a number that should be emblazoned in your mind, even in your sleep. You should be able to recite that number right off the bat. But we have so much to discuss. And we have to make sense of these things ourselves. It's good when people can help us understand much more deeply issues of the day. But it's always important when we can say what we understand so far. Gwen from New York, you start us off today. Hello, Gwen. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, shoot. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, Therese, can you hear me? Hello?
Okay. All right. We can hear
you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Okay, so you'll straighten that out on your end, and we'll move along. Lizzie from New York, you're on the air.
Okay, I just want to say that our so-called president, his title with minis, his title has been proclaimed Dumb and Dumber. Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't.
But the movie called Dumb and Dumber, two
yeah, I know the movie. Laws.
One was dumb, one is dumber. And this is what we have, okay? This is what we have in the so-called White House.
Okay, now that you've said that line, explain its applicability in this situation.
Okay, to give you one quick example, it's the fact that
I don't need examples. What I need is for you to explain what you just said.
Oh, I'm going to explain what he did to show you how he's not thinking. His advisors, between him and his advisor, it's not being too cohesive as to what should be done.
Go ahead.
To give an example is when... excuse me, just one moment. To give an example, is when he called the soldiers out of Afghanistan and before leaving the general public people protection, and then he had to send the soldiers back because he said, "Oh, I made a mistake." That is unheard of.
Okay, so it's unheard of, and what are you saying? Make your point. You're not making a point. You're making statements, and then we have to do the work and put them together, stitch them together for you.
Oh, I thought I was making a statement when I gave an example of how he called the soldiers out of Afghanistan, and then he had to send them back because he left the people unprotected.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your contribution today. Gwen, you're back with us. You're on the air.
Back. I'm sorry about that technical issue. Hi, Therese. Wanted to say hi. I had some interesting news this morning about an article in USA Today, which is chiding Biden about taking the Haitian refugees by airplanes to different smaller venues in the United States, which is really interesting. So could it be possible that the airplanes, rather than going back to Haiti, were actually going to smaller places in the United States? And if that's the case, I would be quite happy about that, because then I definitely think we can absorb 15,000 people. And I definitely think in a smaller venue, they're going to get in a lot easier. So I hope that is the case. As far as what the woman was saying before, I'm sorry, we're in New York, so a lot of noise here. The woman was talking about Afghanistan and getting people out safely. And I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I mean, this is New York. It's part of
this
the...
Is New York. Okay. This is New York. Okay, so you're in New York. So what I want to say about the woman who commented about Afghanistan is that I just think people just kind of follow along like sheep. They follow what the media says. I want to remind everybody to go back and look at what happened in Vietnam when we finally got out. Did not go along easily, did not go peacefully. It was quite difficult. And you're living in La La Land if you ever in a million years thought picking up and pulling out of a country is just going to go along smoothly. You must be in fairy tale land if you think that just goes along easily. Of course it doesn't go along easily. It didn't go along easily, but it wasn't as bad as what it could have been either. So I think, to me, it looked very average. I expected a pullout to look like that. Now, I might be older than this woman. So, you know, when I was a little kid, I saw the pullout of Vietnam. And after that, many years after that, I would see those pictures over and over again. So it looked almost the same to me. So I expected there was going to be a lot of heartbreak going on, a lot of families that would be left behind, a lot of people that would get out. But this is what it looks like. I'm really sorry, but, you know, if you went to an emergency ward, this is kind of like what you get. So, you know, it's not a fairy tale. And if you're jumping on Biden because of that, I think you're wrong to jump on him because of that. That's not the right thing to jump on him about. As far as Biden's concerned,
let's talk about your what you put on the table. What do you think happened that caused a slight reversal in what the plan originally was, which is to take all these people back?
Well, first of all, if in fact it was a reversal, then it was probably public opinion. But what if it wasn't a reversal? What if they were just being on the QT, not telling people, because the Republicans would go bananas if they found out what they were doing? What if that was the case? Then I think that, you know, it was a good plan. I think no matter the system looks more and more like one and the same. But I'm gonna give him kudos on this, that if he was taking them out originally to these places, then I think it was a good thing. If it's a reversal, well, you know what? All I can say is, if you reversed yourself because of public opinion, then at least you came in and corrected a mistake that had to be corrected, because it was such an ugly mistake. As far as the men in Texas are concerned, too, the people on horseback, you know, he called in these people, and unless you're there directly overseeing them, you can't know what they're going to do, except for, I will tell you, it's kind of predictable. You're in Texas, and they want to make you look very bad, so they're going to go ahead and be as ugly as possible. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I shuddered at the thought of these people entering into Texas, period, because you don't know what Texas is going to do. I mean, Texas is a very conservative state.
Why do you leave out the biggest part of the situation, and that is the people themselves? What do you think they had to do with this?
The
Haitians.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I don't know that people in their situation could make a difference in if there was a change in plan. I don't know if they could make a difference. I think they were kind of the characters in the play. And if you're watching the play and you are getting very upset at watching it, they're very empathetic. Watching their movements was very empathetic. You empathize with them. So I don't know I didn't see them picking up the phone to call the White House or call their senators, but I think that they themselves, just through the sheer perseverance of getting to where they got to and seeing all that they've been through, that they themselves are a very empathetic and sympathetic group of people. So, you know, why wouldn't you want to help them? I mean, why wouldn't we get on their side? So, you know, if you don't get on their side to help them out, I'm sorry, but you look pretty bad. You just have really bad optics yourself, because this group of people, if they have not suffered, if they are not suffering, and I got to tell you something, this morning, I was listening to Amy Goodman again at Democracy Now!, and I was shocked to hear 45 minutes on what Guatemalans are going through. Well, there's a lot of Guatemalans that are here, and they're here illegally. Very, like a second spent on this Haitian situation. This is the news right now. This is happening in real time right now. And I was so shocked that she wasn't talking about the plight of these Haitian refugees. And yes, I'm calling them refugees because they are escaping from an impossible situation, and it's not going to get any better. So I think that the Haitian people who've come and showed their courage, their resilience to come to a very hostile place, Texas, to try to gain entry into a safer place, I don't know that they had so much to do with speaking out about their destiny.
Yes, they did.
I'm not aware of it. Okay. Okay. So if they spoke up,
but it was a very interesting tactic, and it worked. So
good.
We shall maybe we'll hear about it. But thank you.
Thank you for putting it out there. You're
quite on the money here. Thank you so much, Gwen, for your call. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air. Which question are you taking on? Jeremiah, are you there? Okay. John from New Jersey.
Can you hear me?
You're on the
air. Can you hear me?
I can now hear somebody.
It's Jeremiah. I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. And I unmuted myself just in time. Can you hear
all
me,
right.
Beatrice?
So which question are you tackling?
I'm tackling the question of, well, I'm going to put it as a question of the Democratic Party. You started the show on Monday, I believe, with some passionate statements against the Democratic Party. And
yes.
I have to say, I was very moved by your statements. And I'm very angry at the Democratic Party at this moment. I'm furious by them. And just to give you an example of one individual, which would be me in this case, and that individual's personal shift as a result of the political situation at hand, it's such that the Democrats, in my case, and I know of others who I've spoken to, but in my case, and I think there's many of us out there, have lost my lesser of two evils vote for good now. I can never vote for a Democrat again. I've never voted for a Republican in my life. I voted for lesser of two evil, as I perceive them, Democrats, on different occasions, and I will not do that again. I consider Biden's vaccine mandate to be authoritarian and a direct attack against my existence. And I think it was really chilling how he went about it. Absolutely, because he's mandating that the public take experimental drugs. And people want to remove the word experimental, but by all means, they're experimental. If you're adding side effects to the list of side effects as you go, that's experimental. If you're having panel votes where they decide, oh, should we administer boosters or not? 16-2, we don't administer boosters yet. That's an experiment as far as I'm concerned. And it's like if a person goes into a doctor's office, that's supposed to be a personal experience. You're supposed to be able to consult your doctor, get a second opinion, a third opinion. You're supposed to have options. And I feel as though I'm walking into the doctor's office and the doctor's just being really rough, saying, we're going to do this. We're going to do this invasive procedure now, and we're going to do it. And you say, well, what do you mean? Do we have to do it? Yeah, we're going to do it. We're not going to discuss it. Just roll up your sleeve. Let's get started. And it feels like that's being done to the entire society. What you wouldn't accept as an individual in a doctor's office, the whole society is supposed to accept that tone. And we have the case of Israel where the vaccinated are dying of COVID. This is called a leaky vaccine. And I've learned this, you know, I learned a lot of terms through this whole period as I've tried to educate myself as much as possible, but that's a technical term. All vaccines are leaky to one extent or another, and this is an extremely leaky vaccine. So, you know, we're in a ridiculous situation because we're being driven by commercial interests. I call this the vaccine Super Bowl. It's like, you know, we're rooting for the Giants or whoever your favorite team is. And you don't say anything against the Giants. We just root. And when we go smash helmets and go about our business very roughly. But there's a lot of things that are going on that really are very questionable. And, you know, for example, in Romania, we don't hear about any of this kind of stuff, but in Romania, they've introduced an interesting third party option, I guess you could call it, which is they vaccinated the vulnerable and they closed down the vaccination campaign. So no need for mass vaccination, but for particular groups who fall within a demographic who are more susceptible to COVID, vaccinate them. Close down the program, and they're doing much better than the U.S. and much better than Israel. So why is everything framed in these extreme binaries? And also, I want to point out an irony, which is that there's this picture that's been painted very diligently that if you're against this vaccination or you're reluctant about it or hesitant, as they like to say, then you're automatically a Trump supporter or a right winger or a person who's fallen into right wing propaganda. But then ironically, Black people are the most vaccine hesitant group and the least likely to support Trump. And likewise, it's such an irony that anti vaxxers are considered Trumpers when the hallmark of Trump's career was he unveiled the vaccine through Operation Warp Speed. So there's just so many layers of irony in this whole thing. And I think people really need to stand up.
Why are you holding Biden specifically?
I think Biden is a despicable. Biden gives me chills. Let me put it this way, Dietrich. I couldn't stand Trump. I protested Trump the day after he took office. So it's just ridiculous to me. If anybody ever accused me, which has happened a few times, of, oh, you're a Trump supporter. Absolutely not. I've never voted for Trump, never would, never said a positive word about him. I protested him the day after he won the election. And I could say many, many terrible things about him. However, if Trump did what Biden did last week and went to a podium and said, we're introducing mandatory vaccinations and you need to get with the program, we're losing our patients, and walked off the podium without fielding any questions from the media, I mean, that would have been, I think, called what it was, which is a dictatorial action. And it was done as a total slap in the face after this huge dossier came out against Fauci, which is raising eyebrows again about the gain of function thing. And what was going on with that? Like, you guys like possibly invented this virus? You made a global pandemic, and now you're providing us with the cure and all the protocol of that? And then when the president comes out and makes announcements, it's not about the criminal investigation into Fauci. It's an announcement about these vaccines will be mandated and you can be ostracized from society, basically, until you take this injection, which is the first thing I think a lot of people think, aside from all these accusations of people getting caught up in right-wing propaganda. I think a lot of people just think, well, why do you want to inject me so much? And I think that's a fair question. Why do they need to inject everyone so badly? And, you know, I also really would like to raise the issue of certain groups that we don't discuss at all in this national discussion. Like, for example, the people who received one shot of the vaccine and aren't taking the second. There was an interesting survey I saw of those people. 39% said it was because of the horrible effects of the first shot. So are you going to tell those people, no, you have to do that again. You have to be a soldier to get your full credentials. No restaurants, no job. Go get that second shot, even if it, you know, brings you near death. The first shot brought you near death. Maybe the second one, you know, will take you over the line. But if not, you have a job. You know, there's also the group of people who are medically.
Do you still have a job, Jeremiah?
No, I lost my job. And actually, thankfully, some of your callers contacted me and I had the pleasure of exchanging emails with some of your wonderful listeners. And I still offer you a free chess lesson at any time, Eutrice. I think it's a great meditative practice. So remotelearningchess.com.
Now something just goes sideways. I don't get it. But I've tried many
times. I'll break it down for you.
I'm a total failure at chess.
No. I'll break it down for you. You just didn't have a good teacher. That's the only problem.
Ah, that could be the answer. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today.
I'll tell you a funny story next time.
Very good points. Thank you.
Thank you.
John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, John. You're on the air.
I know.
Which question?
I know. What was the question?
I'm asking you, what question are you answering?
Oh, I'm answering the pathetic question. That's my description of Joe Biden. He's pathetic. I'm embarrassed. It's an embarrassing situation to have this guy do whatever the taskmasters tell him to do. That's what he does. He's not a courageous man. He's not somebody who you'll follow over the hill. He'll be hiding under a rock, no doubt about it. The situation that the United States government is in right now is dire. It's dire. It's a situation that I dread to see what the results are going to be. I know Haitian people. They're wonderful. I don't understand them all the time, but they're wonderful. I play tennis with one often, and he's He's not about to lie down under any circumstances. He's a fighter, and I respect him and the society that he comes from. You know, people've got to realize that they can't lie fast enough. You know how it is. You tell a lie, and then you have to lie and lie and lie and lie to cover up the fact that you told that lie. It's beyond belief. I wish Vince Foster could come back and indict the Clintons. You know, that's what really needs to be done. We really need to have, we need to wet the eraser and wipe the blackboard clean. We have to do that, and we have to do it real soon, because there are too many uninformed, I don't know, I just have to say morons out there that buy the bullshit and join the wrong end of the...
Your language.
Well, I don't have to say it again. It's sad. It really is a sad situation that people could be so ignorant as to not see that they're being manipulated all the time. And they're not getting ahead. They're falling behind, and that's going to continue to happen until people start to revolt and they start to get really rough. You know.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your.
I'm running out of things to say. Thank
today.
You for your show. Bye.
Thank you. We'll take this break and come back right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we have a bunch of questions that are waiting answers. But where are the answers? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. There is no one answer, as you probably know by now. But it is important that you express yourself and be a part of what is going on. And we are reevaluating and evaluating things all the time, as we ought to. That's what intelligent people do. Things change, situations change, our thinking also should change. 888-874-4888. Ed from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I wasn't around for yesterday's show. I was selling a scooter. My wife passed away a couple of years ago, and I was selling a scooter to a woman who really needed it. So I'm sorry I couldn't call in yesterday, but I feel really good about that. So anyway, Biden gets an F in my book on all counts. First of all, I'm sick and tired of these storms coming and ravaging states in our country, and we don't plan ahead. We don't bring down generators ahead of time. One of the problems is we're a reactive nation, but we're also a nation that regime changes, and the poor Haitian people have been the brunt of our abuse for years, even over 50 years, going back to Papadoc, which we regime changed and put him in power, slaughtered and killed millions of Haitians. And from Clinton, when he forced the Haitians to import rice, when rice was their number one export, which would have helped them with the earthquake in 2010. And not one home was built for the Haitians after that earthquake. I know, because my brother-in-law is a plumbing contractor, and he's gone over there to give his free time, and he knows that the Clintons built homes way, way over on the other side, the west side, way clear past the earthquakes. They didn't do anything. And Biden didn't do anything either with this earthquake, as far as building up the Haitians, building up the economy, retrofitting homes over there. So we have really decimated the Haitian people for years. And as far as our borders concerned, we should be taking in any refugee that we have regime changed, which was Guatemala under the direction of Barack Obama, and specifically under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So when we regime change countries and we put brutal dictators in, in so that our corporations can get natural resources. We should be taking the people in that have to leave these countries because of what we did. There's a great book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, ex-CIA agent, who talks about going into all these countries and making deals with these dictators so that our corporate state can get access to their natural resources. And we've been doing it for years. So Biden gets an F, and as far as the economy, he gets an F in that. I mean, where's the forgiveness of student loan? What are they doing about the moratorium on evictions? What are they doing about the minimum wage that was supposed to be $15 an hour? See, all that goes away. And then you get people that say, oh, the Democrats are fine. They don't say anything bad about them. But the truth is they're liars. They promise things and they don't deliver them. So, I mean, you know, I got a statement from Chase Bank that says, my account is below $50. They're warning me. So I decided to do a little calculating because the Federal Reserve has been giving Chase Bank billions of dollars a month. And I decided to write up a note and send it to Jamie Dimon, president of Chase. And I've calculated just for the year's end, Chase Bank is now, according to the American taxpayer, $60 billion in debt. So I'm sending him a letter. Pay up or shut up. You're $60 billion dollars overdrawn.
Pay up or shut up.
That's right.
Oh, that's
you're $60 billion
plan.
Overdrawn. Pay up or shut up to the American taxpayer. But you'll never find Biden speaking out against him. He's in bed with the banks. He was on the Senate Banking Committee with Barney Frank. So they will never speak out. They will never forgive student loan debt. The bank is Biden's best friend. So that's my contribution. If you have any questions, feel free.
Thank you, Ed. I really appreciated not only your answer, but the spirit behind it. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ed from Queens, the other Ed from Queens. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Trish.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm hanging in.
You know.
We all are hanging in.
All hanging in. Pertaining to your question as far as things are getting better or getting worse, unfortunately, I got to say things are getting worse. I mean, with the prevailing economic future, with the prevailing educational future, with the prevailing social future of this country, I don't see anything improving in the immediate or long distance future. I think one of the biggest indicators is going to be the job market and how real jobs, as far as career jobs where you can make a decent salary, have been steadily in decline, and more of these gig type of jobs like Lyft, like Uber, like Postmates, are starting to take precedence over the horizon, and we're turning into a service economy, a temporary service economy, where the average individual in America could have two or three different jobs and never really have a clear picture of retirement. You might wind up working into your 60s and 70s. So I believe that things are going to get a lot worse, partially because of our apathy and partially because by design. I think if you read the book by Klaus Schwab, The Great Reset, he wrote that in 2016, we're gearing up for a debt economy. We're gearing up for where being in debt is going to be common. And you want personal and private ownership are going to become a thing of the past, where everything is going to be leased out to you, and we're going to be in some type of new serfdom where you're working to pay your debts. Things are starting to pop up like the negative interest rates. And as far as interest rates on your money, savings interest rates are incredibly low. And there's a thing coming up in China where if your money doesn't move out of the bank, they start charging you a fee for keeping your money in the bank. Economic zones and tied in with the vaccine passport. So I think, I believe America is in a decline and we're at the beginning of the end. And
wow, that's quite pessimistic. Is there, from your vantage point, what has to happen to either prevent it or to counteract it?
Well, I don't really think anything can happen to counteract it as far as preventing it. Like I always say, all politics is local, and people are going to have to take an interest locally in their environment and their communities, whether it be your state or your city or your neighborhood, to try and ensure economic and social safeguards on a local level. I don't think you're going to have too much success nationally. I mean, you've got to get involved. You know, a lot of people come on your show and they poo-poo it. But like I always say, politics is local. When I was living in Brooklyn back in the 90s, we had problems in East New York. We got behind Charles Barron, Operation Push, Operation Power, and we made some viable changes in that community too. In that community, there's affordable housing. In that community, when the retail stores wanted to come in, they provided jobs for the youth and for the seniors and for people in the community. So I believe those things are the key. I don't think a national approach is going to be effective because, quite frankly, politicians on a national level are controlled by big corporations, and we don't have the ability to fight them on that level. You have to make your stand on a local level. You have to control what you can control. Like Adam Clayton Powell said, what's in your hand? And that's where I've encountered my most success at. That's where I've seen tangible goals. We've had tangible goals, and we had measurable success in those efforts. And I'm never going to put that out of the picture. But I think that's all right. Where it's going to have to lie.
I value your analysis. Thank you very much for contributing today. Rose from Queens, you're on the air. Rose, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
You are on the air, Rose.
All right. Well, I give Biden a very bad grade because I think that he's a real bigot. The way he treated those Afghan people, you know, he had no intentions of getting any of them out. He said, oh, they didn't want to fight back. The U.S. was supplying the arms for them to fight. They lost 60,000 fighting the Taliban. And, you know, they're supposed to fight in Alamo. When the ammunition runs out, the U.S. hightails out, their ammunition runs out, the Afghan forces, and then what? They're left with the Taliban anyway. So they were supposed to, fight just to have the, so Biden could get his optics of Afghans fighting each other while we hightailed out. Instead, the Afghan forces, they pulled the rug out from under Biden by saying, we're not going to go on fighting the Taliban. There's no point because when we run out of ammo, we're not going to get more ammo because you're gone, U.S. So then he disparages them, even though they lost 60,000 people, forces, fighting Taliban. The same with the government. That government, Ghani, he was supposed to end up like Gaddafi. No, he didn't do that. So then the only reason he got any of them out of the helpers was because he did not anticipate the U.S. vets had the back of these Afghan helpers, and they called him out on it. That's the only reason he set up a corridor for these people to come through. And not only that, he, the bigot Biden, he enforced Trump's policy, which was arbitrary policies, which made it very hard for any Afghan Western person, pro-education, pro-women, to get a visa. He made it hard for them to even get their visas. So, to me, that just shows that all he did was show nothing but contempt for these Afghan people, and the only reason that he got them out is because the vets protested. He never anticipated that. He calls it a civil war, as if the U.S. hadn't been there partaking in this quote-unquote civil war for 20 years. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Well, that's
at least I'm
it.
Trying
that's
to, but you just went into
Biden.
The ether.
What?
Okay. Well, we got the gist of what you were saying, Rose. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today.
You're
welcome. Bye. I appreciate your call. Bye-bye. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to take your question about the performance of the president. That's my question that I will look at. First of all, I would like to approach this on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. And this is how I see it. As far as I'm concerned, and I think most of the people in the country, as far as I see Biden, he's maybe a 5, and somebody like Trump would have been a 4 or a 3. So he's way down the scale as far as performance. However, I think it's important to recognize that the oligarchy that rules probably see him up around 8 or so. Maybe they saw Trump near that, maybe a 7. Biden has got a much happier face for those who rule than Trump, and they feel more comfortable with him, even though the job of the president is not to please the people, it's to please the people who run the country. And as we should know by now, the rich and powerful, the oligarchs, they run the country. They provide the money for people to run with this bribery system called campaign contributions and so forth. So as I see it, for the masses of people, Biden is down in the most he could get maybe in some places is a 5, but maybe in 3 or 4. And for the ruling class, he's right at the top because the mission of those who rule is for the country to empower them, enrich them at the expense of all the people. And he has not changed, and no president deviates from that, whether you're talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt or all of them. They have to be in service to those at the top, those who rule, as we know, we call them the ruling class, the oligarchy, and they are the ones that the president is there to serve, and in terms of the people, to keep the people in check, and whatever is done to do that, can be done, and that will keep down rebellion. So whether it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the Great Depression or anyone else, that is what the goal is, to keep the people in check and enrich those at the top. So for the performance, and I want to be brief, the performance for the ruling class is up close, getting close to the 10, and for the people, it's way down low. It could be, in some cases, to get to the point where it's a 2 or a 3 near the bottom. And that's the way I see it.
Wow. This is a tough crowd. You're tough today, Brother David.
Yes.
Right
thank
on
you
point.
Much.
That's for sure. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing.
Thank you.
Muhammad from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, are you, Trace? Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Yes, but it sounds like an echo, like you're in an echo chamber.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm away from any kind of noise so that you can hear me clearly.
Okay.
But there's always...
All right.
We're just going to go ahead. Okay. I sincerely wish your health continue to improve. And I have two major concerns. You're very welcome. One is the economy of this country, and next is the physical health of our dear citizens. I'm concerned about the debt that the United States have, you know. And I know your audience are familiar with this term. They call it quantitative easing. They're just printing money. And at some point, you know, they're about to ready to raise the debt ceiling on the Democratic part, but some of the Republicans say they're not going to go along with it. If they default on that debt, part of what that's going to do is bring down the value of the dollar. And the United States is borrowed by selling bonds. And when people stop buying those bonds and they start trying to cash them in, because we can't pay that debt, that's one of my concerns. If they do default on the debt, then we're going to have inflation and next coming depression. There's a lot of people out of work. A lot of people can't pay their rent. And then my other concern is our people's health. So many people I know have taken both of those shots. And listen to one of the doctors, he was saying that there are 40 trillion mRNA spike proteins in those shots they were getting. So my concern for a lot of Americans and some of my good people, what them shots are going to do to them up the road, I'm really worried about that. And now I'll let someone else go. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you very much. Well, we have time for one more call due to the generosity of this caller, Muhammad. 888-874-4888. If you swing around fast enough, you can get the last call today. 888-874-4888. The interesting thing is to encourage people. Don't wait for the so-called experts to tell you everything. You have a brain, and you have a sense of history, and you can make sense of what you are experiencing. So talk about it. Because I don't find, well, today, everybody was on point in different degrees, but that's exactly what we're looking for. How you are experiencing life. What sense are you making of the reality that you're living? That is what is important. We could read about, polls that show this or polls that show that. But I'm interested in what you are actually experiencing and what you are thinking and what you are voicing. That is as real as it gets. That is better than any poll that you could find out there. And so we have to respect it because it's a genuine interpretation of your reality that you are living every day. So it is important for us to respect that and to talk about it. And to honor it, it's not something that, this guy doesn't have a PhD, this woman doesn't have her doctorate either. So what? These are the experts because they're living it. They're experiencing it. And to the best of their ability, they are telling us, in some cases, even warning us about it. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you all for calling and contributing as you usually do, so meaningfully, because that's what this program is about. You are telling the story every day from your unique vantage point. You are living it. That makes you an expert. It doesn't matter whether people agree with you or don't agree with you. It is imperative, though, that we listen to what you have to say. Thanks again for listening. We'll meet up again tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.